Thankful to be back once again tonight with you all. I do count it an honor and a blessing to be able to spend time with you this week. The time of fellowship and time of being in worship together, hearing testimonies of God's people, hearing rejoicing, singing praises to the Lord, hearing beautiful voices singing. It's been good. It's been good for my soul. Tonight is we get into the Word of God a little bit. We want to turn with me. We want to first start in the book of Luke, in the fourth chapter. Luke chapter 4. I'm thankful that everything that's said and done behind this pulpit and amongst God's people is all about Jesus. He is everything. And tonight's going to be no different. Lost sinner, friend, I want you to implore you to listen to the Word of God tonight. I ask that you listen to the Holy Spirit as He moves in your heart to draw, that you consider your situation once again tonight. We're going to start reading in the book of Luke in the fourth chapter, the 16th verse. It says, "And he came to Nazareth," speaking of Jesus, "where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" I love seeing in my mind's eye this event that took place of our Lord and Savior as he was beginning his earthly ministry. How he went into the synagogue and he asked for the book. Well, of course, there were not chapters and verses back then. But he got to the place in Isaiah where he prophesied about this time. And it's known to us as the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And Jesus, he just reads it. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I could see in my mind's eye to some degree as he was there in that synagogue and he read that. And he closed the scroll that he was reading. And he just sat down, and then he sat down. The King of all kings, the Messiah, just read to those in the synagogue the prophecy of himself. And he said, today this is fulfilled in your ears. Man, what an account. The power of Christ as he read that. I mean, absolute truth saying this is fulfilled in your ears today. And they were just amazed. They were pondering like, huh. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He was sent here for those who were troubled. The thought we have tonight, we get into some more of the Word of God, is troubled souls. Turn with me to the 107th Psalm. Jesus surely came to relieve all of those that was troubled in their soul. He alone was able to fulfill this. He alone was able to do this by his own power. I heard Brother Jason even say that his soul was troubled when he was lost and separated from Christ. I think I've heard many times this week of those who have testified about the Lord saving them, about the different trouble that you were in before Christ saved you. This 107th Psalm strikes me as very, very interesting. It's got a lot of wonderful instruction in it for us tonight. And Santa Fe, I want you to pay attention because Jesus came and we've been preaching all week. We've been preaching, we've been singing about Jesus. You've heard testimonies about Jesus. He is the only one that could help your troubled soul tonight. I want you to pay attention to see if any of these things fit in your troubled soul. Because there's wonderful news for you tonight. In this psalm, it's a very lengthy psalm. We're not going to read it all, but we're going to try to pull out some things about some troubled souls. And there's four descriptions that the psalmist records for us here. And let's look at a few of these tonight, and I pray that the Lord would trouble your soul tonight. I pray that if you know that you're lost and separated from Christ tonight, I do know from experience that you know if you are or not. And if you are separated from Christ tonight, I pray that you would seek Him. And that's been said all week. This is always open. Whether I'm preaching, whether we're praying, whether people are testifying, this is a wonderful place to pray. I don't care where you seek the Lord at. I just want you to seek Him. That's what I encourage you to do. Are you troubled in your soul tonight? It tells us in verses 4 and 5 of the 107th Psalm. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. This short description tells us that they were lost and have no direction. Do you feel that way tonight, Lost Sinner? What about being hungry and thirsty so much that your soul fainted within you? I remember feeling this way myself. That's what we call, right, of being lost and separated from Christ, is that you are without direction. You have no guidance in your soul. There's no ease there. You are separated from an almighty God. We know that Jesus is, as he states even himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that his purpose was for the Son of Man is to come and seek and to save that which was lost. That's what you are. That's the condition of your heart tonight. If you are separated from God, you are lost. Have no direction. I've read testimonies of those of old. It's a beautiful thing to see, you know, being lost and separated from Christ and hearing about testimonies in which we share in church oftentimes. You know, this isn't something new. It's actually very old. To share what Christ has done for those who've been born again. I love reading historical documents that state those who were lost and separated from Christ, and they describe it in so much better words than I do. And even in Scripture tells us here in these examples in this psalm, different ways that we feel, different ways that the Lord wakes us up and lets us know that we are without Him. He also describes it here as being hungry and thirsty, and that's exactly what it is when we're without Christ. Our soul longeth for something greater. And as we spoke of earlier this week, as Jesus taught that He truly is the bread of life, He is what you need for your hungering soul. He is what you need for your thirsting soul that you can't get quenched with anything else in this world. Isn't that what happens? Is when those that are separated from Christ, they have a longing in their soul. It's a hunger and thirst for something. Oftentimes, they don't even know exactly what it is, but they know it's missing. You know, Jesus used all of these examples so that we would understand. So that you would understand your condition. Isn't this what Jesus talked when he spoke, as Jason mentioned, I think, last night, about the woman at the well? And he met her and spoke with her there at that well, and she was lost as lost can be. And Jesus told her, what did he say? If you drink of this water from this well, you're going to thirst again. And that's exactly what it is when you're separated from the Lord. There's a thirst within your soul that you need quenched, and you cannot get it quenched. And oftentimes, you seek all of the worldly things to try to fill that void. And you're going to continue to be empty and empty and thirst. But then Jesus told her, didn't he? But the well that I have to give, if you would drink of this water, then it'll be a well springing up into everlasting life, and you will never thirst again. So you see, that which is tormenting you in your soul, it's things that make sense that we understand that Christ has come to be the remedy for you. for your troubled, lost, hungry, thirsty soul. Jesus is the only way. What about being lost? Have you ever been separated from your friends or your family before? It's not a good feeling. I've seen this, and maybe you have too. You know, children get separated from their parents, and the children are terrified, right? And they start screaming for help and just screaming because they're afraid. They're lost from their parents. That's the troubledness of being separated from Christ, is your soul longeth to be found by something that's true, someone that's real. But isn't that what the gospel is for? That the gospel ring out clear, pointing to Christ, that He has come to seek you out. That's why you're here, to hear the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, to ring in your ears that there is hope for your lost soul. He is the way. Man, what good news. What good news tonight. The gospel calling out. Isaiah 55 says, ho. That word ho means alas. It's a declaration out loud. Means pay attention. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. He says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. But then he goes on and says, incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. You see, when we're lost, we hear the gospel news. It's good news. Jesus says, listen, hear for me. I'm calling for you. Come. Oh, me as a preacher, me as a saved child of the King, I want you to come to Jesus too. But it's not my invitation that's going to get you down in your soul. It's the Holy Spirit that takes the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ and implants it there in your soul, saying, come. That's what Jesus is there for. To come and to seek and to save you tonight, sinner friend that is lost. That's the good news. That is the good news for you tonight. Verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. What is it also like to be lost? It's being in darkness and in the shadow of death. It's being in bonds, in affliction. And in iron. Scripture tells us many, many times throughout Scripture. What is it Jesus says? John chapter 1. It's recorded about Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. John the Baptist, he admitted, he says he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Your soul is in darkness tonight, sinner friend. Do you not feel the darkness? Most of the time, for me personally, when I was separated from the Lord, I was terrified of the dark. I did not want anything to do with being in the dark, especially by myself. And you know, I witnessed that with my own children. Being separated from Christ is being in darkness. You see, there was a point in time in your life where everything was fine. You see some of these children here that have no care about them at all. They're just playing, they're enjoying life. But boy, when it comes to the point in time in their life, when the Lord lets you know that you are accountable for your sin, that you have offended him, it's just like things change within your heart, doesn't it? Things wasn't like it used to be. When the conviction comes and that awareness that you have offended God, it is an unpleasant feeling. You've got darkness in your soul. In bonds. I love, some of you maybe didn't get to hear all of Kingston's testimony last night. But he said something that was pretty awesome to me. As he was praying in his room, he said that he felt like he was in chains. A little boy. Speaking about feeling that he was in chains. And then he said, as I was praying to God, they just, like it all came off. What a wonderful description. Nobody told him to say that. Nobody instructed, say, now when you go up there, young man, you need to say this, 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 and this. There was no prompting of that. There was something that little boy was struggling with. There was something in his soul that was real to him that he knew about. And as he was calling on the Lord, he said he just felt like I was in chains. I doubt he's ever been in chains physically. But he described it that way. But that's how it is. It's just like you're bound up when you're separated from Christ. You're not free. But Jesus is able to free you from those bonds like he did this young boy last night, two nights ago in his bed. Darkness and the shadow of death and bonds and affliction. That affliction is your sin. You know, your sin is it's terrible. It's the worst thing that could ever happen to us is the realization of our sin. It is your sin that separates you from Christ. And it causes affliction. And it is uncomfortable. Do you feel that tonight, sinner friend? Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. You become fools. We don't use that word too much in our modern English, but it's a very strong word that's used in Scripture. You're a fool. because of your trespasses and iniquities, because of your sin. You become afflicted and troubled. That's that word afflicted means troubled. And it's that you become near to death. I remember feeling that way. I remember the times when that deep contrition set in my heart. Oftentimes, when the preacher was wrapping up, getting ready to call for that song towards the end. And I remember just that pressure, that affliction that was affecting me. And there'd be times when I just felt just close to death almost. And I didn't realize it, but it was there. And it was such a terrible feeling in my soul. And no one else knew it except for me. And so often what I would do is have this outward appearance, just be stone-faced like nothing was wrong. But oh, there was so trouble down in here. What is it to be a fool? It means destitute of reason. We're wicked and depraved people. And your sin is so great. I've seen this so much, and it seems, I don't know, it becoming more and more frequent that those who are separated from Christ, just they'll listen to messages about Jesus, who's the only hope. They'll hear those who testify of the goodness of God. They'll listen and hear the saints shouting and praising Jesus and sit there like unaffected and have no problem with the condition of their soul. That's foolish tonight. You're acting a fool. I'm not trying to be mean and I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just telling you what Scripture is telling us tonight. It is foolish if you know that you're separated from Christ on your path to hell and you're not doing anything about it. There's zero concern, at least on the outside. If you are troubled on the inside, why aren't you moving towards Christ? Why? Why not? Why do you just push off and say, you know what, I don't care? That's foolish. That's foolishness. This is your life that's at stake. Eternal life you are dealing with tonight. Your sin, don't let your sin, don't give in to your sinfulness. Don't give in to the adversary. He doesn't want you to come to Jesus tonight. He wants your brain to think of all different ways. You know, I'm going to ignore what the preacher's saying tonight. I'm going to ignore what is being sung about. I'm just going to pretend. If I could just get through just a little bit more time when he's done preaching and they get done singing, then I could just go home like I do every other night and I'll just be fine. Don't listen to those lies tonight. Don't fall prey to your sin to lead you down another night of destruction, potential destruction. Why are you okay with that tonight? Don't be okay with it. Don't be foolish with your life. You're playing with fire and it's not good and it's not okay. We love you tonight. Your pastor loves you here tonight. Your family members love you tonight. And we don't want to see you in the condition of your soul. And we don't want you to not seek him. He's the greatest thing for you tonight. He'll take care of the trouble in your soul so you'll never have that trouble again. Doesn't that sound good? There's nothing else we could give you. If I had $1 million, I'd give it to you, but it would be no good for your soul tonight. If I had all the games and video games in the world and I give them to you, it would be no good for you tonight because it's not going to fix what's down in here. Do you get that tonight? If I had the power to give you the best job, the best family, the best situation that I could, it won't take care of your troubled soul. There are so many people in this world that are going around this and living life. And on the outside, they have everything. But yet on the inside, they're in darkness. They're just on the brink of death from their spiritual life. They are lost and separated and miserable people. Your sin is the reason why you're in this condition. When John was there baptizing, he had a great work to do. He was preparing the way for the Lord, wasn't he? He was preparing material for those that would come and follow Christ. He was baptizing down there the river. He looked up. I could just kind of imagine this a little bit. Here comes Jesus. He got excited. And what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was excited. Jesus was coming. He is come and he is there to take away the sin of the world. Your sin. That's who we're pointing to tonight. That's why I get so excited. That's why your pastor gets so animated. Because we know this Jesus. Boy, sometimes we just can't contain ourselves when we start preaching and talking about Jesus. We were eating dinner tonight with a good brother and good sister, and brother told us his testimony. And as he was talking about his testimony about Jesus saving him, you know, the tears started coming because it's joyous. It's good to tell about the one who relieved us from our sin. It's awesome. He is so good tonight. He's able to come here tonight to save you. Are you troubled in your soul tonight? Jesus has come. He said, Hebrew writer says that Jesus come to put away every sin by the sacrifice of himself. And what a sacrifice it was. He paid the price for you, sinner friend. Verse 23. This is an interesting one. More pictorial. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Being separated from Christ feels like in your soul of having no control. Completely out of control. It says their souls were melted because of trouble. They were at their wit's end. You may not have experienced this. I was unfortunate at the time, but fortunate enough to experience this description. I remember being out in the ocean on this boat. We were going fishing. And we were going out where there was a bunch of big ships coming into port. We were in a fairly small boat compared to everything else that was around. There was a time when we were in that boat. The waves were exactly what was described here. The waves were so large that it took the ship way up high. And then when we were going down into the swell, it got down so low that you couldn't see almost the sky. You were down so low that there was only water all above. Talking about a feeling of losing control. Oh, and I got sick as a dog. I was saved then. I was ready to go, but boy, it was an uncomfortable feeling. It wasn't just about being sick, but having zero control. The ship was going up. It was coming down. And nothing anybody could do. The captain of the ship couldn't do anything about it. You were at the whim of the waves. I was praying so hard, the Lord, please make this stop. I did all that I could to try to hide and try to relieve my sickness that I had physically. I remember going down to the middle of the boat, and it didn't help. Boy, it was just rocking side to side, completely out of control. And I went into the little commode area where there was more confined, trying to brace myself. Oh, and it just got worse. Nothing could stop it. Finally, it was headed back to the dock. And you know what? The very moment that I stepped on that dock, I was completely free of that sickness. It was the strangest thing from a physical thing that I've experienced. But even more importantly, sinner friend, I experienced this in my soul when I was lost. Of having and feeling like I was out of control. Jesus gave. There was a time when the disciples were out on the sea. Jesus was there in the boat with them. And there was a storm that arose and it rocked the boat. And the seamen there that was with them, the men that were used to were fishermen, they were scared to death and afraid to die. I mean, they were terrified. The water was starting to come in the ship. They lost all control. They knew they were in danger. And so they woke up Jesus. Say, Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die. Oh, and Jesus, he knew all about it, though he was sleeping. And what did he do? He woke up and said, peace be still. And just immediately the storm stopped. There was calmness on the ocean, on the water, and it was all good. What a beautiful picture of what Christ does in our soul when we are out of control and we are lost and in trouble. Boy, when you call on Jesus, say, Jesus, I need you to wake up. I need you tonight. He will be there. And you know what? He'll say, oh, absolutely. Peace be still. And it's like, whoosh. It's gone. It's gone. That's what it's like. It's not gradual. It's instantaneous. Amen. Sinner friend, that same Jesus is living today at the right hand of the Father, ready for you to call upon him. And he will make at peace your troubled soul tonight. Why do you sit there at ease when your soul is in danger? I'm thankful for conviction. I'm thankful for contrition.
8. The same thing. The same instruction in the Old Testament is the same instruction in the New.
Amen.
It's the same instruction you're getting tonight. Cry to the Lord tonight.
Amen. Amen.
He will relieve your troubled soul. Amen. He will take care of this distresses that you feel down in here. Why are you hiding it? Why are you putting up a front tonight? Don't do it. Cry out to Jesus tonight. He will take care of it all. Call on the name of the Lord. He will hear you. There is a time that's coming. Jesus came. When we read the account, we read many accounts this week of Jesus when he walked on the earth, and he came in great love, didn't he?
Yep.
He came with a great love. He was the light of the world. The world was in darkness until the light came. He was light. He came with a great love, and he was able to, as his purpose was, to seek and to save that which was lost. He died and rose again. And as we mentioned, he's at the right hand of the Father tonight. Brother Jason mentioned, I think the other night, he said, but there's coming a time and when this world and everything you see is going to be burnt up. It's going to be over. And you and I don't know that time. There's not a man here that knows when Jesus is coming back for the last time. But you see, when Jesus comes back this next time, he's not coming with love. He's already come to do that. And he's already allowed mercy and his grace to be extended today so that Amen. You might find peace in him.
Amen.
But when Jesus comes back, it's going to be over. He's coming in judgment.
Amen.
And when Jesus comes back in judgment, you know what he's going to do? It's very, very simple. He's going to divide. There's really only two types of people that have ever walked this earth.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about gender. We're not speaking of skin color. We're not speaking of anything that we as humans divide each other over. It's over the great divide. You're either a sheep or a goat. When Jesus comes back, he's going to separate those that are saved from those that are lost.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a great divide. Judgment's coming for you. Are you ready? Are you ready for the great judgment of Christ coming back? He, you can't see. We can hide things from our parents. We're very good liars. We were born speaking lies and hypocrisies. I mean, you know, babies, they're good liars.
Oh, that's harsh, isn't it?
Look in there.
Right.
If you're a parent, you know your children lie to you to get what they want.
Yep.
Listen, we fool each other. If you're older in age and you're not saved, you can fool everybody here, but the Lord sees your soul exactly where you're at tonight. He knows if you are one of His, and you cannot fool Him. You can fool all of us, but you can't fool Him. Young person, if you're lost and separated from Christ, you can fool everybody. Maybe you haven't ever sought the Lord. Maybe you don't have never told anybody you're lost, but you know it. Because the Lord has told you. You have felt the separation. You have felt these things in your soul. Why are you hiding? The adversary wants you to hide and keep these things away. But Christ says, come unto me. We are instructing you tonight to come unto him. The word of God instructs you to come to the Lord in your distress, in your trouble. Why don't you come to Jesus tonight? Seek him.
He alone will deliver you and your distressed soul. Do you believe that? I don't think you do, otherwise you'd be seeking Him. You've heard some testimonies this week. Isaiah chapter 61, what Jesus quoted. Jesus quoted the part from this chapter, and he closed about the prophecy of himself. You've heard many people talk about what it's like to be saved. Oftentimes you'll hear us talk about a peace that comes over because Jesus is the one that is able to deliver you and give you that peace. And that's certainly absolutely true. But I love all the other descriptions about those who were troubled in their soul, who have come to know Jesus. He says in this chapter, the Lord come to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, right? You mourn. To give unto them, this is beautiful to me, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. I find that to be beautiful. He makes beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sinner friend, Josh might get a song. Is your soul troubled tonight? Maybe you have said that you've been saved in the past and you're really not. I don't know. I can't look in anybody's heart. Don't be ashamed to seek the Lord. You're going to be around people here that love you tonight. Don't be ashamed to seek Jesus. We want you to get the real thing. Amen. Because when you get it, you're going to rejoice and you're going to know all about it. You'll have a peace that passes any understanding. You hear a lot of the preachers that talk about conviction. And I sure hope we don't confuse lost sinners. Because I sure don't. You need that godly sorrow there before you get saved.
You don't have to wait till that's there to start seeking Him, though. Because if that's the case, if all you're doing is waiting for all of this pain to happen in your heart, and you know that you're lost and separated from God, and you die in that state, you're going to try to blame God for not drawing you. That ain't going to fly. If you are separated from Christ, you've got to seek Him.
That's right.
I promise He'll meet you.
Amen.
that trouble will come. But if you're separated from him and you do nothing, you can't blame God for not saving you. I want you to understand that. And you're just saying, I can control everything and whatever the adversary wants you to believe. Don't listen to it. Listen to the Word of God. Come to Jesus tonight. Will you call upon Him? Don't let your past distract you from what is in front of you tonight. Understand the same.
182 Heavenly Highway. 182.